This evening, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And we're going to look at three verses out of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. Now, notice what it says. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." You know, beloved, one of the things that's so prevalent in the world today are the troubled minds and hearts of people. A lot of people are fearful. A lot of people are frustrated about life. A lot of people are fearful about the condition of the world. And they're fearful about the present situation in which they're living. People are fearful. They're worried about losing their jobs, especially in America. They're worried about losing their investments and their money. They're fearful, some are, that there won't be a next meal. Other people are fearful that there might not be a home to live in down the road. And many are fearful and they're concerned about their health. And many are fearful and they're worried about the future, about harmful events like war and drought and floods and earthquakes that might take away everything that they have. They're fearful of the government. And they're fearful of those who hold office and where these men and women are taking us. Now, Christians, born-again believers, share a lot of these same fears that those who are unsaved share. And along with those fears, there are a lot of Christians who are reluctant. They're fearful of knowing the gift or the gifts that God has given to them. And they're fearful about exercising that gift that the Holy Spirit has given to them. They're full of fear about witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're full of fear about giving the gospel to those who are unsaved. They're full of fear about making a stand for God, for His Word, for truth, for right, for holiness of life and lip. Now, Timothy, the young pastor that Paul was writing to here, was timid. Timothy was a young man who was fearful. And Timothy, on top of that, suffered from physical ailments. And he was also tempted to let people take advantage of him and not assert his authority as pastor. Very often in the ranks of those who minister as pastors, very often in the ranks of those who are missionaries, there's this thing called fear. There's this thing called cowardice or timidity. And it's very much a part of my human nature, and I'm sure it's very much a part of your human nature as well. And if we allow that timidity that's within us, that fearfulness that often comes, if we allow it to, it's going to defeat us. It's something that Satan, the evil one, will exploit. It's something that Satan, the evil one, will use to defeat every one of us in our walk and in our ministry for God, if we let him do that. Now, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. He says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And then Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now, as we've already said, this young pastor by the name of Timothy had an amount of fear. He had an amount of timidity in him. And that fear needed to be overcome. And so Paul, in his letters, writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, he says, "Timothy, hold fast." Now listen to what Paul says as I take you through a few verses in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul says this. He says, "To war a good warfare." And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul says, "Let no man despise thy youth." And in 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith." In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And then in 2 Timothy 1:8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And in 2 Timothy 1:14, he says, "That good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, he says, "I charge thee, preach the word." Now, you know, beloved, encouragement like this is needed today as much as it was needed in Timothy's day. In the past, encouragement like that was needed because of opposition, because of the enemy, and because of the persecutions that were taking place that we'll learn about just a little bit later. Today, this type of encouragement is needed because of the cunning of the enemy. Satan is there to lead us astray. He's cunning. And it needs to be there because of the half-heartedness of many of God's servants. You know, so many pastors, missionaries, some of God's servants are wanting to take the path of least resistance. And we've all known men like that who are wanting to take the path of least resistance. But the result is that too much is yielded up to the enemy. When we take the path of least resistance, when we don't stand on the principles of God's Word, too much gets yielded to the enemy. We've yielded too much to the opponents of truth, and that makes things doubly hard for the generation to follow. And so Timothy was charged. Paul said, "Timothy, hold tenaciously to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." Why was he to hold fast to it? Because some had made shipwreck of it. And we've seen men make shipwreck of the faith in these days in which we live. And they've made shipwreck of themselves. Now, these words that are in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, were written by Paul toward the end of his life. And, of course, Paul was in prison for the second time. And Paul was not expecting any mercy. And at that time, Nero was the emperor of the Roman Empire. And in his desire to build a better Rome, and not sure how he could accomplish it, he gave orders to set the city on fire. And as he set the city on fire, he sat and he played his fiddle. And he was watched with glee as the city of Rome burned down. Now, having fired the city, he had to put the blame on somebody, didn't he? So he could justify himself. And, you know, when we do wrong, sometimes we like to put the blame on somebody else so that we can justify our wrong actions. And so what did Nero do? Nero accused the Christians. He punished them with inhumane tortures. And night after night, Christians were soaked in oil, and then they were set on fire on posts to light up Nero's palace ground. Now, Paul, the great leader in his day, was cast into prison under those circumstances. And he was aware of the suffering that he was about to endure. So he writes to Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, continue in those things that you have been taught from your very childhood. Fight the good fight of the faith." Now, in light of these dreadful conditions Paul faced, that should have inspired Timothy, and it should inspire our hearts as well to hear Paul. Listen to what the old warrior of the gospel said. in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, this is what Paul said. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Beloved, it was under these circumstances, which could have brought despair to Paul, that he said those triumphant words of faith. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You know, beloved, it's easy to express confidence in the Lord when everything is going well. And it's even easy to express confidence in the Lord when the trouble's behind us. But what about when we're in the midst of trouble? It's not quite so easy to express this kind of confidence in the Lord. But Paul expressed that confidence in God while he faced suffering and while he faced condemnation. He was about maybe to be soaked in oil. Maybe he was going to be one of those burning brands to light up Nero's palace ground. But still, he expressed confidence in his God. Now, you know, beloved, as we zero in on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, there are three things that I want you to notice with me as to how Paul encouraged his son in the faith. And by the way, Paul had the privilege of not only leading Titus to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but Paul also led this young pastor by the name of Timothy to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so, notice with me these three things. First of all, we're going to notice the command of encouragement that Paul gives to Titus. Secondly, we're going to notice the consolation of encouragement that he gives. And thirdly, the consistency of encouragement. Now, notice first the command of encouragement. Now, he says this. He says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Paul reminded Timothy that God had called him to serve. He reminds Timothy how the local church ordained him. He reminded Timothy as to how he laid his hands upon that young man. And in fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbytery, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." Paul reminded Timothy of the charge that he had committed unto him. Now, it needs to be pointed out that no believer today has the same authority and the same privileges apostles did. Today, when we lay hands on men for the gospel ministry, it's a symbolic act, and it doesn't impart any special gifts to the men that we lay our hands on. But it's symbolic of something that has already been given by the Holy Spirit of God. The church recognizes that a man has been given a gift to preach. A man has been given the gift of evangelism. A man has been given the gift of counseling or whatever. And when they lay their hands on that man, they're only recognizing the fact that the Holy Spirit of God has already given that gift. Now, every one of us here today, as truly born-again believers, have been gifted by our Lord's Holy Spirit. And we need to be reminded of that. Every one of you have been given a gift. Some of you have the gift of preaching. Some of you have the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of evangelism. Some of you have the gift of giving. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. Some of you have the gift of intercessory prayer. Some of you have the gift of graciousness, peaceableness, oneness, humility. And like Timothy, you don't need any new spiritual ingredients in your life. All you need to do, like Timothy, is to stir up what you've already been given by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." And now he adds here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee." Stir that gift of God into a flame. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. He's saying, get on fire for God. Use that gift that God has given you. Now, beloved, it's the Holy Spirit of God who sets us on fire for God. He's the one who fills us. He's the one, beloved, who empowers us. "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." But you know, beloved, the Holy Spirit of God can't do it if we neglect our spiritual lives by grieving Him, by quenching Him. You see, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And He has the power to stir us up. And so, beloved, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our guide. We need to allow Him to fill us with the wisdom of God's Word that He has authored and that He has breathed through the writers. We need to let Him fill us with holy zeal to exercise the gift that God has given to us for His glory. And so Timothy had every reason to be encouraged by the command to stir up the gift of God that was in him, to have spiritual enthusiasm in his ministry. And the Holy Spirit, beloved, would give him all of the power and all of the courage needed for that ministry. And so it is with us. What more could Timothy or you and I ever want? God's given us everything that we need. Back in America, I have a pastor. It's good to have a pastor, isn't it, Pastor? And our pastor is 68 years old. And we go to a little church that's, we run maybe 50, 60. Sometimes we might get up to 70 or 80 people. But Pastor Tom was saved out of Roman Catholicism. A pastor knocked on his door one day and started talking to him about the Lord Jesus. And Pastor Tom got a little bit angry with that pastor. But you know, the guy kept coming back, kept talking to him about the Lord. And eventually, Pastor Tom and his wife, Sherry, accepted Jesus as their Savior. And you know, when they accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, the Holy Spirit came into his life and gifted him to be a preacher. And he started going out calling on people with his pastor, and had the privilege of bringing several people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord called him off to Bible school, and he went down to Tennessee Temple in Tennessee and studied the Word of God. And then God called him back to New York State, and God used him to plant 4 independent Baptist churches in that state. And all of those churches run about 150 people. And Pastor Tom and I go out visiting once in a while. And it's so good to knock on a door. People will invite us in, and Pastor Tom, he'll sit down and start talking to them about everyday things, maybe mention who's that in that picture. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Tom will tell folks how he got saved. And it's just a wonderful experience. The gift of God, the gift of preaching, the gift of evangelism is stirred up in that man. And every place he goes, he witnesses for Jesus Christ. Now, notice secondly, if you will, the consolation of encouragement. In verse 7 of 1st or 2nd Timothy chapter 1, and it says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, Jesus said to me, and Jesus said to you, that he did not give us the spirit of fear. When Jesus saved us, when he gifted us, he took that fear away. He took the fear of death. He took the fear of hell. He took the fear of eternal damnation away as we trust in him. He took it away by the gift of his grace. What a wonderful thing the grace of God is in the life of a man or a woman. Now, beloved, God, by the gift of his grace, took away all of that as we yield to his Holy Spirit. He took away that fears that causes us to cower and let our flame die down when we're confronted with suffering, when we're confronted with persecution or opposition, when we're fearful about using our gift in ministry, when we're fearful of witnessing to the lost, to that relative, to that friend, to that neighbor, to that stranger, when we're fearful of standing up for the truth, for God's word, for right, for holiness of life. No, beloved, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but on the contrary, God, by his Holy Spirit, gave us the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And of course, these three graces were certainly needed by Timothy. Threatening clouds were beginning to darken the sky all around this young pastor. There was hostility toward the planting and the development of the church that Timothy was pastoring. There was mounting opposition from Nero, mounting opposition from the Roman government. And so in the face of this coming persecution and suffering and opposition, there was a need for power. Holy Spirit power. And you know, beloved, Holy Spirit power is aggressive energy in the face of difficulty. That's what it is. Aggressive energy in the face of difficulty. A power that overcomes cowardice, that overcomes weakness. Holy Spirit power enables one to work. It enables one to suffer. It enables one to die if need be. That's why Paul was so calm when he wrote to Timothy. He told him to stand firm for the Lord Jesus. And then needed also, beloved, is the spirit of love. Holy Spirit love. And what is Holy Spirit love? Why, Holy Spirit love, beloved, is self-forgiving. It's a sacrificial love for the Lord Jesus that puts him first in our lives. It's a true love, beloved, for the church. You're the church. And I trust that every one of you have a true love for each other. A true love, beloved, for your pastor. A true love for the little ones. A true love for this community all around you. Holy Spirit love is also an intense love for the souls of men. And it exhorts and it warns and it rebukes, no matter what the risk is to oneself. And then needed also, beloved, is the spirit of a sound mind. You know, as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, and as we allow Him to take control of our lives, He puts within us self-control. He puts within us self-discipline. He puts within us a sane and a balanced mind. That's what the Holy Spirit does when He gives us a sound mind. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Oh, beloved people, the Holy Spirit will give us a sound mind if we do this. Just come with me for a little bit back to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians chapter 4. And I'd like to read for you verses 6 through 9. These are very familiar scriptures, but so very important. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." What a wonderful thing the peace of God is. Do you remember the day that you got saved? You were in sin. Perhaps you were fearful and afraid. You were under conviction by the Spirit of God. But then you bowed the knee. You confessed your sin. And you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. How did you feel after you did that? Oh, beloved, the peace of God flooded into your heart. It flooded into your soul. And so Timothy, beloved, had all of these graces given to him by the Holy Spirit. And you and I, beloved, also have them as well. Look with me again at the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And I would like us to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Wonderful passage of Scripture. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then notice verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Timothy had all of those things given to him by the Spirit of God, and you and I as well. Now notice thirdly the consistency of encouragement in verse 8. It says this, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Paul says to Timothy, don't be afraid to witness Don't be afraid to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Don't be afraid to bear witness to the power of the truths of the gospel. Don't be afraid to give your testimony. Don't be afraid to tell other people how you got saved. Don't be afraid. Just go ahead and do it. Paul said, don't be ashamed or afraid to witness for our Lord, like I have. And how did Paul witness for the Lord Jesus? Paul witnessed in boldness. He witnessed in the power of God. But you know, in order for you and I, like Timothy, not to be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's essential that you and I are fully persuaded of the Scripture of truth. We need to be persuaded what this book says about our salvation and about all of the other things that accompany salvation. We need to be fully persuaded and firmly established in the truth of God's Word. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul comments on the faithfulness of Timothy's mother and grandmother. Evidently, his mother and his grandmother brought him up in the faith. They established Timothy in the truth. And later on, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What a blessing. Timothy was taught, Timothy was instructed by his mother and his grandmother in the Word of God while his mind was young and susceptible and capable of remembering. Now, we've got a lot of children in church tonight. And we've got a lot of parents in church tonight. And you know, beloved Christian parent, this is the greatest blessing that you can ever give to your children. To raise them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord while their minds are young, while they're susceptible, while they're capable of remembering. So it's this with this reminder that Paul challenges the timidity of Timothy. And he's saying, remember the Word of God that you've been taught. Remember, Timothy, God gave you the spirit of power. God gave you the spirit of love. God gave you the spirit of a sound mind. Preach the Word, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Just trust Him. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God as you face affliction and as you face suffering. And as you face opposition. And then the Apostle Paul continues to encourage Timothy by the Word of God. And I've got several verses that I want to share with you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says this to Timothy. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then he goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 to say, preach the Word. Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Do it, Timothy. Like Timothy, beloved, all of us are commanded to stir up that gift that's within us. Like Timothy, we have the consolation of knowing that God has not given us the spirit of fear that makes us ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. No, beloved, the Spirit of God has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. And beloved, God has also given us His Word, His holy Word, the living Word, the written Word, that the Holy Spirit of God breathed through the writers. We need to be established in it. We need to practice it. And once we do that, we can be consistent witnesses to a lost and to a dying world, even in the face of suffering, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of opposition. Are you fully persuaded in the Word of God? Are you studying the Word? Is the Holy Spirit of God your teacher, your guide? Is He empowering you as you walk with the Lord Jesus day by day? Oh yes, beloved, all of that can be ours. Let's bow, shall we, for a word of prayer. Father, this evening, we're so thankful for Your Word. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for Your servants, like the Apostle Paul and young Timothy, men who were faithful, men who overcame the fears that were in them, men who loved You, men who walked with You, men who stirred up the gift that was in them. And as a result, Father, became very, very fruitful. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your good hand of blessing would continue upon Golden City Baptist Church. And Father, we thank You for their pastor and his family, and for their assistant pastor and his family, and Father, for the deacons and for the Sunday school teachers and for all who are part of this church. And Lord, I pray that You would empower them. Pray that You would make them to be fruitful. And pray, Father, that this church might just burst at the seams because people are being witnessed to. And they're coming to know Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. So, Father, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You so much for giving Yourself for us. We praise Your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.